This is an interview with Brett Grandstaff. So, Brett, go ahead and tell me the film's getting ready to come out, eh?
Yes, January 8th, The Masked Saints. We're very excited.
And how did you go about deciding this story in the first place?
You know, it's a funny story. I was supposed to be doing another film, another true story. I like true stories. So I was doing a true story about a boxer. And we're going to film it in Canada, had everything ready to go, and just had a couple of issues with the original, the boxer, the guy that wrote the story, and it wasn't comfortable doing it. I just didn't want to get the situation where there was just wasn't right. Like, I was worried about a lawsuit and just some other things. And so the partner that I was working with in Canada, he was like, hey, you know, I've got this little faith-based movie. Love for you to take a look at it. So I read the book, The Masked Saint, written by Chris Whaley. I was like, you know, this is kind of interesting, you know? So I was like, well, do you have a script? And they had a script. And, it was kind of like the book. The book's very vignette-y because it kind of takes place over Pastor Chris's kind of whole lifetime. And I was like, you know what? Let's tell this story in a shortened kind of way. Incorporate a lot of the things that happened to him, but let's tell kind of a more linear story. And so I wrote the script for it. And I presented it to them, and they loved it, and we decided to do this film. And it's interesting. So when I heard the story, I'm like, wait a second, he's a pastor, but he's a professional wrestler. And, like, in my mind, I'm like, wait, how do these two, you know, how does this happen? You know, I always like to say he's kind of a pastor who doesn't always turn the other cheek, so to speak. And I just thought the story was really fascinating. I thought it would be a good story that you know, 'cause it's a story about redemption and about second chances. And I love the message in it, and I thought it would be a great kind of first foray into the faith-based world, because I've been wanting to do a faith-based film for a while, and I just didn't really have the right vehicle for it. And so I'm really excited that this is my first faith-based film. So yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Go ahead and tell me why you wanted to get into doing faith-based films. I mean, you can make money, better money, doing other things, so why that?
You know, it's funny, when we went to NYU Film, head of the department set us down and said, basically, if you want to make money, do anything else, because you're never going to make it in film. And so I've been very successful, actually, in filmmaking and as a producer. I have a company, Ridge Rock Entertainment, and I do more bigger kind of studio films. But I created Ridge Rock Faith to do this movie, and I want to do more faith-based movies, because I am a person of faith, and I think... you know, I appreciate faith-based films personally, and it's just something that I've always wanted to do myself. You know, I think there's definitely a market for faith-based films, and I don't think there's enough content, enough good content. You know, and part of me doing this movie was I wanted to hopefully bring a higher level of production value to the faith-based films, to hopefully get more people into the theaters, because I think there's a lot of people, especially people that I know that are Christian, that are faithful, who just have a hard time kind of going to see faith-based films, just because of, you know, they're cinephiles, you know, and they want to see a good film, and they like the story, but it just, you know, let's be honest, sometimes the production value isn't always up to par. So I'm hoping to hopefully, you know, kind of set the new bar of, like, hey, we can do really high-level, you know, Christian films at a good price and a decent budget and still have a really good message. It was kind of my impetus for getting into the faith-based world.
Talking about setting the bar, I understand that you did most, if not all, of the stunts for this film that had to require a good bit of special training.
Yes, I did. I one of the things about the film, I told him, I said, if I do this movie, I want to do all my own stunts, because I want to learn to wrestle. I mean, that's the fun part about movie making, right? You can kind of do anything and become anybody. And I'm like, I want to learn how to wrestle, right? Which, kind of looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, maybe that wasn't a good idea. No, actually, I loved it. It was great. We brought in this guy, James Preston Rogers, who went through the WWE training camp, was about to premiere, got injured, and just realized, you know what, he didn't want to wrestle, he was a stuntman and an actor. And so we brought him in, and I literally had 8 classes to learn how to do all the wrestling that I did. I did my own stunts through the whole movie. And so I had 8 classes, 2 hours each, so 16 hours total. And it was a very much crash course, literally, pun intended, because the first day, James, he talks like this. He's like, hey, bro, listen, normally people take about 6 months to learn how to fall. You got 15 minutes. I'm like, sorry, excuse me, what was that? He goes, yeah, you trust me? I'm like, yeah, I don't really have a choice. He goes, okay, bro, so I'm going to pick you up, and I want you to close your eyes. So he literally picks me up. And he's like, okay, close your eyes. I'm like, okay. And he's like, you trust me? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, okay, bro,
breathe out. And they just, like, slammed me as hard as he could on the canvas. And I'm like, oh! I'm like, and he's like, bro, you gotta breathe. And I'm like, thanks. So, I will be the first to say there is nothing fake about wrestling. It hurt a lot.
Yeah, I guess so. And so that we presume that floor gives a little bit.
It does. It gives a little, but there's still, even when you fall, there's got to be that timing of falling. Because there's a couple of times, because James, he's a big, big guy, like, you know, 7 feet tall, huge guy. And I think his leg is probably thicker and wider than my entire body. So there was a couple of times where we did a fall, and his leg hit just a little bit before my body. And so that floor had sprung down, and I already was springing back up when I hit. Yeah, that's the bad timing. It really hurts.
So I got to ask you then, it seems like through physical, maybe more stimulating physical activities like that, sometimes we might get an epiphany while we're experiencing that. Maybe God speaks to us a little more closely. Did you have any of that while that was happening?
You know, I don't think necessarily in the wrestling, but I think in the film in general, you know, we were definitely blessed. I think God was watching out for us, just in the sense, just the whole production, like the fact that we finished on time and on budget was just amazing. We filmed in Sault Ste. Marie in Northern Ontario, and I think they had their first snow that year in like early September, and we were filming late November, and I was just waiting for like the big massive snowstorm, and it just never hit. We were never lost a day of filming, you know, we were really blessed, and then the big blizzard hit after. But just with the stunts and the physicality of the film itself, I couldn't believe we didn't have a single injury. I mean, I did all my own stunts, and we had a lot of other stunts, a lot of other stunt guys, and there's a lot of action in the movie. It's a good action film, and we never have a single injury. And the fact that it was so cold, and that we were doing a lot of, you know, outdoor fights, and it just, I just kept waiting for someone to go down, and it was just, we were truly blessed that we made it through with no injuries. And a part of that too was, I think everyone that was on the film knew kind of what was in for, and everybody was, you know, they'd been training and, you know, been doing extra workouts, and just, I mean, we really prepared for the physicality of the film. You know, I always work out with my friend. Actually, my trainer is in the movie with me. He plays the Detective Harper in the movie. And I've been working out with him for 13 years. He's my best friend, and he's a personal trainer. And we've just been, you know, so I just generally am always working out you know, try to keep a good regimen. But for the film, we really ratcheted up a couple notches and started doing 2-a-days. And, I mean, during the filming itself, it was just because, you know, you do all the stunts and everything at the end of the film. And so I had to keep, you know, in my workouts and everything up to leading up to. And so, you know, by the third week, we're doing overnights, and, you know, we're just exhausted. And I would literally, my schedule throughout the filming was I would go in and have a call at 7, I'd be on set at 7, because I'm producing it as well. So I'd be there at 7, you know, in the morning. We'd finish about 6:37 at night, and I'd have, you know, I'd go to dinner, you know, have my chicken and broccoli, and then we'd prep the next day. And then I'd hit the gym at about 11:30, 12 at night, get a good hour and a half to our workout in, you know, go to sleep, only have about 4 hours of sleep, and do it all over again. So that was kind of my schedule for the filming, which, again, I don't know how anyone, me personally, didn't get injured, but I think that the Lord is watching out for us, so.
No, that's great. So let's go into your workout a bit. You're finished with the film now. Tell us a little bit about how your regular workout lifestyle goes. Do you have a particular favorite gym? Do you do the CrossFit type of thing, boot camp, regular machines?
No, what? Nothing. I work out. Well, I'm a martial artist as well, so I usually try to do 2 or 3 days of martial arts. I'm a guru and eskrima, which is a Filipino martial art. But in addition to just pure weight training and workouts, I work out 4 days a week, and I always work out with my friend Mikel, and I work out at his place. And he converted his garage into a big gym, and he has everything. I call it the dungeon. It's like medieval torture when you go in there. and he's got certifications in 9 different, you know, he's certified in 9 different things, from Pilates to yoga. And we pretty much, we mix it up pretty much every day. Our Sundays is our pull-up and sit-up day. So we try to go through a minimum of 400 pull-ups, different variations, you know, overhand, underhand, you know, reverse grip, all kinds of different things like that, in addition to about 1,000 sit-ups. And that, different ways, you know, from bikes to, you know, leg raises. And that's kind of our normal Sunday. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, It's just a combination of everything. Usually start with a couple mile warm up, cool down, and then we just throw everything. And it's different every day. Although I will say I naturally don't have a big chest, so I throw some kind of chest workout in every time I work out just to make sure I keep my chest up because I was a sprinter all through high school and college and had scholarships, and so my lower body's really, really good, and I worked that out probably too much when I was younger, and so now I'm overcompensating by always throwing in a chest workout just to make sure I kind of keep that good symmetry going. So,
three favorite exercises, real quick.
Three favorite exercises: pull-ups. I believe in pull-ups because just you work your whole body and you can't shoot a pull-up. So pull-up. I love the TRX and getting on the ropes. Anything that just challenges your core as well. I'm kind of a firm believer in always engaging the core no matter everything you do. Love any TRX exercise. Love the pull-up, and then. Honestly, just good old-fashioned bodyweight exercises, plank and push-up. Those are kind of like my core things. I always throw in there somewhere. So
cool. And you look pretty ripped for the movie. So pretty tough diet.
Yes. Yeah. Every 2 hours, would have something. Kind of the normal. My protein and my greens. Those pretty much every 2 hours, 3 ounces. So I have 3 ounces. So I wake up in the morning, have my oatmeal. And then 2 hours later, I would usually have an apple. And then 2 hours after that, I'd have 3 ounces of protein, then a couple of greens. And then 2 hours after that, another thing of protein. Then 2 hours after that, another thing of greens. And then my meal would usually be, chicken and broccoli or asparagus or, white fish with asparagus. And then, finish it off with a protein shake after that. And then always, pre-workout drink before and then protein after. And then if I got like just completely starving and ravished in the day, I'd maybe have a handful of almonds. That was it. It was just every day. Like clockwork every 2 hours, get my protein and greens,
Yeah. So cool. So let's dig into your faith for just a moment. A lot of the fitness magazines out there don't really talk about that at all. We like to, and we'd love for you to share with us with our readers, a little bit more about what makes it personal to you, what you find really unique about your faith, and how you feel it impacts your life.
I grew up, I moved 20 times growing up, and we'd always go to different churches and different, so I don't have like a home church, but raised Southern Baptist, and that's kind of where I'm at now. Me personally, I'll tell you a funny story about this film. In the film, I always like to say that in The Masked Saint, that my character, Pastor Chris, he always ends up at the wrong place at the wrong time. Or maybe it's the right place at the right time, depending on if you think God kind of put you where you need to be. And so that really hit home to me, and, me personally, after doing this film, I always take a little extra time if I'm at a place, someone's on the street or if I have a hard time or something, instead of before, I might just kind of, give them a little money or something and go along my way. I always sit there and I'm like, maybe God put me here, at this place, this time for a reason, and so I'm always much more kind of aware of my surroundings and kind of who I run into and kind of, make sure that, maybe I'm supposed to be here at this time and, to reach out and just say, hey, is everything okay? Do you need anything? And I think that for this film, that really kind of reinforced that for me personally. And that's kind of how I have the outlook on life now is, I was at the right place at the right time where I'm supposed to be. I just have to trust in God and his plan, and just makes me kind of more aware of my day-to-day living, so to speak.
The theme for this issue of Faith and Fitness magazine that your article appears in is pause, play, in that order, talking about how a lot of times we need to just sort of stop, shut down, and sort of refocus before we start moving forward. That's sort of appropriate for this time of the year where we're getting to the end of one year and the beginning of another. I'm curious, do you see that playing out as you do different characters in your acting? Can you describe for me a little bit about maybe the pause, the getting into character prior to actually delivering the performance?
Yeah, sure. I mostly produce and I do act, and this is my first starring role, and I've got another film I'm going to be acting in next year as well, another starring role. And for me, with a character, it's, you know, you can never judge. You can never judge a character. And I think that goes along with kind of how I live my life in terms of faith and how, you know, it's not for me to judge anyone. It's just kind of go through. And so, for me, when I'm getting into character, it's, you know, I always have to take that moment and I pause and I say, okay, how does this character, what can I take away that this character has that's close to me, that's part of me, that I can use myself in? And then what parts are the character completely not like me that I kind of have to do a what-if scenario? And so I kind of go through that with you know, before every take and everything, I look at the scene. I'm like, I take a minute, I pause, take that moment to kind of reflect on where I'm at personally, where I'm at, where the scene is, what's happening in the moment. Because you always have to be in the moment. You know, that's what we talk about as an actor. You know, you always want to be in the moment, always want to be present. And so in order to do that, you have to pause and kind of like, you know, let everything go, take that moment, take that beat, and then say, okay, how, at this moment, as a character, what can I take for myself that I can use for me personally in this moment? And then if I can't find something for myself, then I have to say, okay, what can I use, a what if, or how can I imagine I would be? And then I take that moment, let everything go, and then just be.
Excellent. And can you describe any experience in your own personal life, how you apply that same type of approach?
I think, you know, filmmaking is a very dynamic process. Like I said, I normally produce, and I think whenever I have a new script that comes my way, I always try to, I always read it just to read it as just, you know, a fan, or, you know, just to get the story. And then I go back and I say, okay, now if I like the story and I'm engaged in it, I'm like, okay, how would I do this as an actor or as a producer? And then I really take that moment and I pause and I just let everything go, let everything completely just, any thoughts I have about it originally, and then I reread it again. And I read it this time from an actor point of view or from a producer point of view and say, okay, how would I actually do this? And so, and I try to do that with anything I do in terms of, like, business or just my day-to-day life. If I have a major decision, it's like, okay, what's my first reaction? And then, okay, take a minute, pause, just kind of clear everything out, and then look at it again with fresh eyes and say, okay, was there something that made me have a knee-jerk reaction to something, or is it, you know, is this how I really feel, or is there anything else that's influencing my decision? And so I try to always take that moment to pause and kind of let everything go and then reflect and be like, okay, is this a true feeling, a true emotion, a true, you know, decision? Because I always try to take that moment to really make sure that I'm not just rushing into something or, you know, just having that first kind of fan knee-jerk reaction without ever really thinking about the consequences. And so for me, that pausing, it gives me that moment to think, okay, let's make sure this is really, like, do I want to, especially with film, do I want to devote the next, you know, however many years of my life to telling the story? You know, and that's something I really had to do with The Masked Saint as well, was when I saw it, because I was so focused on doing my boxing movie, and then when it fell apart and the script came, it's like, I wanted to make sure, like, I wasn't just jumping into it because I could fill the slot and we had everything ready to go, but was it something I could really get behind, really believe, and really, you know, put out there with my full force and kind of faith behind it? And I did that. I read it, got excited about it, and then I just took a moment, I paused, and really just, is this really the next movie? Is this really what I want to do? And I just, every time I read it, I kept getting more and more reinforced. I'm like, this is it. This is the film.
Nice. So, nice. Tell me, you got to meet Pastor Chris. Two things. What was your biggest aha moment with him? And two, in what way do you feel you're the most like Pastor Chris?
You know, I spoke with him on the phone before I did the movie, and I really didn't actually meet him until he came up on the set, because it's hard when you're doing a character based on their life, because then you might start emulating or you might start trying to copy, and there's really nothing underneath. And for me, I wanted to find the underneath first and really have that true emotion and that truth, because, you know, you never want to imitate or to just what I call community theater act, where you're just trying to, like, act like something but you don't really have anything underneath. And so I didn't want to meet him right away, and then when we got on set and I met him, two things that were kind of the aha moment, which it was also how I'm more very similar to Chris as well, and they're kind of both the same thing, was, you know, I was really struck by his sense of humor, because, and I like to think I have a lot of sense of humor, and when I met him, you know, it was just, he was just cracking jokes left and right. You know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I grew up, you know, in a small little town when I was little. It's like, you know, my Southern Baptist pastor was like this. He was very stoic and very, you know, and Pastor Chris just, he's got a great humor, you know, and just a lot of fun. And so after meeting him, and he was up there the first couple of days of filming, I kind of went back to my director, and I was like, we gotta throw some more humor in this thing. Like, we already had some humor, because I like humor myself, but I was like, you know, we really gotta ratchet up, you know. And so in the film, we have a couple of times where he's not doing the best at being a pastor in terms of telling sermons, because, you know, it's his first time preaching, and so we wanted to throw in some humor there, and I think Pastor Chris Pastor Chris Whaley really enjoyed it, that we kind of got some of his humor in there, and so to me that was both how I'm very similar to him and the kind of aha movement of like, oh, this guy, you know, he's got a good sense of humor, you know, so that was a lot of fun.
Nice. And so, tell me, you guys are going to be producing more faith-oriented films?
Yes, yes. So, my company, Ridge Rock Entertainment, I set up a subsidiary called Ridge Rock Faith. And this will be the first of hopefully many, fingers crossed it does well, that we can do. I have, we kind of designed The Masked Saint as a trilogy. So we've already been working on the sequel or the script to it. Hopefully, if this does well, we'll have another Masked Saint coming out. And then I also have a couple other faith films that I've been working on as well. One I'm going to film next year. It's more inspirational than faith. It definitely has a faith element to it. And it's another true story. So I like true stories. So.
Excellent. Well, hey, that's all the questions I have. Anything else that you want to share?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, Brett, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.